Please turn with me in God's Word to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, chapter 1, we're going through this letter, this epistle to the saints at Philippi. And we have known the Lord's help, and we pray that God will bless us. We want to look today at Paul's love for the Philippians. Paul's love for the Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, and we'll take a reading from verse 1 down to verse 8. Philippians chapter 1, reading verse 1 down to verse 8. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making request with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds, and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Really today I want us to take the first few thoughts of verse 7, Paul's love for the Philippians. And then next week we'll look at the rest of that verse. But with God's word open, we'll unite together in prayer and ask the Lord to write his word upon our hearts. Father in heaven, we confess, Lord, we need thee. Without thee, Lord, we can do nothing. Father, we confess, O God, we cannot hear the message of God's word in the energy of the flesh. Other words will not listen. The word will just go by us, will not be interested. Lord, we need the infilling of the Holy Ghost. We need, O God, to have a mind centered upon Christ. We pray, O God, that will remove every distraction, remove every hindrance, remove every sense of time. And Father, we pray that will take us up to higher ground. Lord, we pray as well for this preacher. Lord, he needs help from heaven. He cannot preach in the energy of the flesh. He cannot depend upon the strength of man. For in man there is nothing. In man there's weakness. O God, we need help from heaven. We need the power of God. Therefore, Lord, stand beside me this day. Sit beside each person in the pew. For, Lord, we rejoice that whether two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou art there in the midst. Lord, come, bless us, we pray, for the Saviour's sake. Amen. When the saints at Philippi received news that Paul was in prison, they sent Epaphroditus with a gift to encourage and to help Paul. Paul was overwhelmed by the love and affection of the Philippians that he began to write this letter and to send it back to them by the hand of Epaphroditus. We have looked in the opening words of this epistle, of this letter, and we have noted that Paul has stated his bond between him and the Philippians. Now, as we've read verses 7 through 8, we noted Paul's words, that they are personal, they are precise, and they are precious. They are honest, and they are sincere. Paul is filled with a deep love and thanksgiving to God for the saints at Philippi. To show the seriousness of all that Paul has written and all he is about to write regarding the believers, the saints at Philippi, Paul said these words at verse 8, "For God is my record." The word record, if you're taking notes in a pad or on your Bible, the word record means a witness. Paul is stating what I'm about to write about you, how I pray for you, the love that I have for you, the joy that you are to me is not false. It is not pretend. I'm not wasting words. I'm not writing this just for the sake of writing. Rather, God is my record. God is my witness. This word, record, meaning witness, is a strong word. It is a legal term. It is a term used under oath when making a vow. So the evidence, what is spoken, what is written, is true. It's uttered in the presence of Almighty God under sovereign oath. And so Paul is saying, God is my record. God is my witness. God is my judge. He alone searches the heart. He alone knows the mind of man. He can see right through me. I cannot fool God, for God is my witness. God is my record. What I'm writing in this letter, how I think about you, how I pray for you, the love I have for you, everything I'm saying, I'm writing it, I'm saying it under oath by the court of heaven. And I vow in the presence of God as my record, as my witness, what I'm saying is sincere, it's true, it's from the Lord. Why can Paul make such a claim? Why can Paul write of his love and his bond for the Philippians? Because Paul's love flows from Christ. Paul's love flows from the gospel. And therefore Paul can say, God is my record. God is my witness. And so let's consider this morning exactly what Paul wrote and why or what is witnessed by the Lord. Notice, first of all, the expression of Paul's love for the Philippians is witnessed. Paul said in verse 7, even as it is meet for me to think of you all. The church at Philippi, as we said, they sent Epaphroditus to Paul with a gift to help and support him through his difficult time. Such was their love for Paul. Paul is in prison. Paul is bound. Paul then, in return, expresses his love to them as it was meet to do so, to think of them in such a way. The word meet, as it says in verse 7, even as it is meet for me to think of you all, that word meet means right, righteous, or upright. Paul is saying, it is right, it is meet, it is upright for me as your pastor, your minister, your servant, your fellow laborer, to express such truth about you all, because this is how I think of you all. What I'm writing is how I think about you, how I feel about you, the way I pray about you. It's meet, it's upright that I should do this. I think of you all. The word think means to feel, to be mindful, to have concern for, to have a mindset. And so Paul is saying, it's right for me to feel this way, to think this way about you, because I'm concerned for your spiritual well-being. I'm concerned for your spiritual growth. I know I'm in prison, and I know you're concerned about me, but equally, I'm concerned about you. Because we'll find in a few weeks' time, the Philippians just couldn't grasp the whole point that Paul is now in prison. They couldn't grasp what God was doing. And we'll look at that in a few weeks' time. And so Paul is writing, I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about your spiritual growth. And so it's meet, it's right for me to write this about you to you, because I'm concerned about you. And we learn in verses 9 through 11 of Paul's prayer for the Philippians. The word think also is in the continual tense, meaning this is Paul's continual expression. This is his continual mindset. He is continually thinking about the Philippians' spiritual growth. He is continually thinking about them as he prays for them, about their growth in grace. Are they growing in grace? Are they going on with God? Just as any preacher would pray for the people about their spiritual growth during the week. Are they reading their Bible? Are they praying? Are they seeking the Lord? It's meet for me to think this of you. When Paul thought of Christ and the first fruits of Christ's redeeming labor, he thought of the Philippians. He thought of their fellowship in the gospel. Likewise, when the Philippians, whenever they considered Christ, whenever they considered their salvation, they expressed their love for Paul by their support and their thoughts for him while he is in prison. And may this expression ever be in this congregation family at South Grove, to think of one another in Christ, to be concerned for one another's spiritual well-being, to be concerned about my brother, to be concerned about my sister, to pray for one another, because we are ever on the mind of Christ, and he has thoughts towards us. Why should you think of one another each day or each week? Why should we pray for one another? Because Christ remembers his people. Christ thinks about his people. And therefore, to be conformed to the image of his Son is to think about his people and to pray about his people. Remember Psalm 40, verse 17. The psalmist said, Psalm 40, verse 17, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, I know the thoughts, the Lord says, that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So the Lord, as he thinks about his people, he views them and he treats them in grace, in the peace and fellowship of the gospel. He blesses them with all spiritual blessings because of redemption through the shedding of blood. The expression of Paul's love for the Philippians. It's meet. It's right for me to think this of you. It's right for me to have this mindset about you. I'm concerned for you. But notice also, secondly, the evidence of Paul's love for the Philippians is witnessed. Verse 7, because I have you in my heart. The heart refers to the center of feelings, the actions that spring forth, the feelings that are brought to life. Remember, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, out of the heart are the issues of life. So Paul's thoughts and feelings inwardly are recorded for all to read openly. So whenever you read this letter, this epistle of Philippians, you're reading Paul's heart. You're reading Paul's love for them, Paul's concern for them. Don't miss the word because. Notice what it says, verse 7, because I have you in my heart. The word because means for this reason, on account of, or upon the basis of. It's a word that points back. It looks back and also considers going forward. In other words, I have you in my heart for this reason. I think of you all. Or I have you in my heart upon this basis. I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. It's interesting to note the words, I have you in my heart, in the original language refers to a mutual love. That's why many commentators agree that when Paul writes, I have you in my heart, they could likewise be read of the Philippians, because you have me in your heart. I have you in my heart, and you have me in your heart. It's a strong word. It's a word to evidence love. I have. It means to hold. It means to possess. The idea is when you hold something or you possess something, you keep it close to the heart. You become protected of it. It is special to you. And so the saints at Philippi, they had a special a secure place in the heart and mind of Paul. He was protected of them. Whenever they were in danger, he wrote to help them. Whenever they couldn't understand the ways of God, what God was doing in his situation in prison, he wrote to instruct them. They were his spiritual family. Likewise, the saints at Philippi, they continually kept Paul close to their heart. He was on their mind. He was on their prayers, so much so that they went beyond any other church to help and support Paul. They were protected of Paul. To turn on Paul was to turn on the Philippians. To go against Paul was to go against the Philippians. This was a close bond between pastor and people, people and pastor. They stood with Paul. Notice as we'll come to, God willing, next week. They supported Paul in gospel ministry, in the bonds, defense, and confirmation of the gospel. Again, wonderful words that we will look at. So may this be our evidence, our desire in this congregation as a family of God's people, that I can say by word and deed that I have you in my heart. And you can say of me, preacher, I have you in my heart. We have you in our heart. Because this is the way it ought to be. God's people praying for their pastor, and the pastor praying for the people. Because that is the lungs of the congregation. This is illustrated by the high priest in the Old Testament in Israel. In Exodus chapter 28, whenever Aaron the high priest, he entered into the presence of God at the altar of incense, he did so to pray for God's people upon the ground of the shedding of blood. And as he entered in to the altar, he did so with the breastplate that was on his chest. Verse 29 of Exodus 28, "And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goeth into the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually." And so remember, on the breastplate, though we had shoulders as well that had the names of the children of Israel written on them, but we're just thinking about the breastplate, you had the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were four rows, and in each row, three of the tribes were written. And it was to represent the people of God, the 12 tribes of Israel, those who were learning about in the life of Joseph, the sons of Jacob. And as the high priest entered into the presence of God, he carried those names on the breastplate because they were close to his heart. And then upon the ground of the shedding of blood, he offered up prayer unto him. Remember, this high priestly ministry in the tabernacle was a picture to teach God's people about Jesus Christ, the great high priest, who offered himself on the cross of Calvary, who shed his own precious blood, and then entered into heaven with his own blood, and there appears in the presence of God for his people to make intercession. And therefore, when Christ prays for his people in heaven, he does so upon the grounds of his own finished work. He prays for his people upon the ground of his own blood. His very presence in heaven is an act of intercession because their names are written in blood. Their names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. Their names are engraved upon the palms of his hands. And therefore I say to you, believer, as the high priest Aaron went into the presence of God and prayed for the people of God, so you are upheld at the throne of grace by your Savior. I say this to you, believer. Hear Christ say, "I have you in my heart." He is the great pastor. He is the good shepherd, the chief shepherd. Therefore hear him say, I have you in my heart. I give on to you eternal life. Can I ask the question? Those gathered today, can you say of Christ, I have you in my heart? Do you have the Savior in your life? Have you ever come to that point where you have come and said, Lord, I'm a guilty sinner and I need you to save me? Because before you ever realize you are lost, you will never be saved. You must come and realize that you have sinned against the Lord. And only then, and then only, when you confess that sin and acknowledge that sin, will the Lord save you. Remember, the Pharisee and the publican. What did the religious Pharisee pray? Lord, I am not like other people. Not like this wee publican here. I do this and I do that. I pray and I fast. I do all these good religious things. I'm different than everybody else. But the wee publican, what did he do? Stood up, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm a sinner of sinners. I don't deserve any of the mercy of God. Therefore, Lord, be merciful. That phrase, be merciful to me, means, Lord, look upon the ground of the blood and pardon me, or on account of the blood, be propitious towards me. Can I ask, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Do you know there's power in the blood of the Lamb? Young people, older people, you can be saved today. You can have your sins forgiven today. You can know peace with God. You can know today it is well with your soul. Are you saved today? If not, ask the Lord to save you. Ask him to forgive you of all your sin, and he will. The evidence of Paul's love for the Philippians. I have you in my heart. Notice thirdly, the earnestness of Paul's love for the Philippians is witnessed. Verse 8, Paul says, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. It's easy to see Paul's passion and his panting after the saints at Philippi. The phrase, long after, Paul said, how greatly, that's intensified. How greatly I long after you all. The word long after, it refers to a strong desire. It means to pursue with love, to desire earnestly. The same word is used in Philippians chapter 2, verse 26, about Epaphroditus. He longs after the saints at Philippi. Or Romans 1, verse 11. Paul longs to see the believers at Rome. 2 Timothy 1, verse 4. Paul longs, desires to see Timothy. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2. Paul desires, he longs to receive a glorified body. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, this same word refers to newborn babes, those who have just come to Christ, that they desire, they pant after, they long after the milk of God's word. Let me say this here, believer. When things are going wrong, when you feel as in a backslidden state, get back to the word of God. Mr. Ferguson, Reverend Ferguson, as you know him well in this place, taught us Greek in class. And chapter 1, well, if I thought chapter 1 was hard enough, then we got the chapter 2, then you got the chapter 3 and all the rest. And then when you got to a certain point, it was like, that's rough. Of course, him being the Greek expert that he is, he thought this is no problem. He was like, I just don't know how you just can't get this. And you're, all the rest. But he always had a principle. Whenever you get stuck at a certain point, when you're stuck at a certain chapter, and it all starts to become higgledy-piggledy, don't just stay there and go on. Don't just stay in that part and get stuck. And don't try to go on either, because then you're just not learning anything as you go along. Rather, go back to the start again and read the same principles. Go over the same groundwork again and lead up to it again, because you can often forget those first foundations. So Believer, when things get rough, when you feel it's a backslidden part in your life, you've no interest in prayer, no interest in the things of God, go back to the scriptures. Go back to the foundation. Get back to the sincere milk of the word. Notice also Psalm 41, verse 1. As the hart, or the deer, the animal, panteth for the water brooks, so my soul long after thee. And the word panteth is the word long after, to pursue after, to desire after. As the deer, that hart, that animal, panteth, desire, longs after the water, so my soul longs after thee, O God. The point is this. As the deer is thirsty, it's weary. It goes to the water. It needs the water to be refreshed. Why? Because that's what it's natural to do. And so, O believer, you have spiritual life. It's only natural that you desire the word of God, that you pant after the Lord, that there's a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, because that's what spiritual life is. It's natural for a believer to go on with God. It's natural for a believer to be in God's house. The believer is in union with Christ, received new life. He longs after the things of God. And so that's what Paul means here when he says, I long after you. I desire after you. For you at Philippi, my heart desires to be in your company. And so as the redeemed of the Lord, purchased by precious blood, we love one another. We are motivated by Christ, brothers and sisters in the Lord, the adopted family of God. We learn what Paul said in Galatians 6, verse 10. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially. And that word especially means above all, chiefly, particularly, unto them who are of the household of faith. You are to do good to one another, not to trip one another up, not to have an agitated spirit against one another, a bitterness against one another. You are to do the greatest good to one another. Why? Again, it goes back to Christ. Because Christ does the greatest good for his people. Again, we learn Ephesians 5, verse 25. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He blesses us daily with benefits. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Acts 3, verse 26. On to you first, God, having raised up his Son, Jesus, notice, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his sins. And therefore, Christ does his people the greatest good, forgives their sins, blesses them daily, provides for them. Unsaved one, you're not in the family of God. In fact, John 8, verse 44 says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father will ye do. You're held in bondage. You're held in snare. And only Christ can deliver you from your sin. Notice finally, the extent of Paul's love for the Philippians is witnessed. Paul said, verse 8, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Now this phrase, bowels, naturally it refers to the inward parts, the organs of the body, the lungs, the intestines, the liver, and so on. Remember, whenever Judas died, we read in Acts chapter 1, verse 18, Judas falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. So that is natural. His bowels just gushed out. But spiritually, as we're thinking about these words, the bowels referring to the inward parts, they refer to affections, centers upon the heart, the seat of emotions, passions, compassion, sympathy, love, tenderness. It affects the whole person. And so when you love someone or you show feelings of affection for them, you are not the same. You get stirred up. Your heart beats faster. Your stomach tightens. Why? They're on your mind. And you desire to see them. You desire to be in their company. And so Paul is saying, my whole being reacts towards you. I am stirred for you. I remember you. I think about you. I pray for you. I long after you. I am stirred when I think about you. Because I have a love for you. Again, Philippians 2 verse 1. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. When Paul refers to the bowels of Jesus Christ, he's referring to supreme compassion. He's really saying, I love you because Christ loves you. That's why we love one another, because Christ has given that commandment that we love one another. I love you, Paul saying, because Christ loves you. You are his people, and Christ is stirred when it comes to his people. He sings over them. He rejoices over them. He prays over them. And so when I think about you, Philippians, I love you. I'm desirous for you. You stir my heart. I strive daily with all my imperfections to love and to pray for you as Christ, though he is the perfect Lamb of God. He is spotless. He is sinless. But with all my perfections, I try my best, Paul is saying, to strive after you. It's interesting to note this word bowels, as we said, means compassion and all that there. It is used in Luke chapter 1, verse 78, translated by the word mercy. It says here, through the tender mercy or bowels of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. So there is God's mercy, God's compassion, God's sympathy, God's love. It all is revealed through Jesus Christ. God has revealed himself through his Son. It's interesting to note in Luke chapter 1, verse 78, if you look at the verses before and after verses 78, verses 77, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of sins, verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So the greatest demonstration of the bowels or love or mercy of Jesus Christ is seen at Calvary, where he died, where he gave himself a ransom for the many, when he went all the way to Calvary to suffer the just for the unjust, to bring men and women back to God, believer. His mercies, his compassions are new morning by morning. God's mercy will follow us all the days of our life. Therefore, Paul can say, I long after you all in the bowels, in the mercy, the love, the compassion of Jesus Christ. The love of Christ, the forgiving attitude of Christ, the praying example of Christ, the fellowship of Christ. Believer, love one another. Long after each other in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Long after a love that is expressed, a love that is evidenced by loyalty to the gospel, a love that is earnest in motives, a love which has such an extent it longs for fellowship and partnership with the people of God. Here is Paul's love witnessed for the Philippians. I long after you. And all Paul has said, and what we have looked at, Paul says, God is my record. What I'm writing to you right now, it's before the presence of God. And I pray, I say, as God takes us forward as a congregation, may we know as we go through this letter, not only a closer walk with God, but a deeper love and prayer life for one another. May the Lord write his word upon our heart for his name's sake. Amen.